Hallelujah. I'm excited. Let's get into the word. Now, if you're joining us for the first time, you find us in the middle of a series titled Destined to Overcome. This is the series we've been going through, Destined to Overcome. And as I go through the word today, I pray that it sinks in your heart for you to know that you're destined to overcome. It doesn't matter what you're going through right now, your end was predetermined on the cross. Glory be to Jesus. So last week we spoke about the importance of knowing your enemy around this matter of overcoming. Because if you don't know your enemy, you'll end up fighting the wrong battles. If you don't know your enemy, you end up fighting the wrong battles. So this morning, I want to teach you on a subject matter, who you are matters. Okay, so we are doing Destined to Overcome Part 3, and we are saying who you are matters. Your name matters. Your identity matters when it comes to becoming victorious. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. This has been our anchor scripture. And the Bible says, "For everything that has been born of God overcomes the world." For everything that is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Verse 5, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Who is he that believes? So who is he that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Now, for the past two Sundays, our teaching has been quite generic. It has been quite general. But John is refining the process of overcoming. He says, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. According to the King James Version, the old King James Version says, whosoever or whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is a victory that overcometh the world. Welcome back to the old King James Version. Now, let's just stop there for a moment. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. What John is telling us is that this victory we are talking about is not just for everyone. Come on now, somebody. This victory we are talking about is not just for everyone. It is for certain individuals. That is why we are saying this morning, who you are matters in the way you're going to fight. And this is the essence of our teaching this morning. Number one, your ability to overcome something is determined by the way you see yourself. This is the first point I want to drive home this morning, that your ability to overcome something is determined by the way you see yourself. The way you see yourself determines whether your interview will go well. The way you see yourself determines the response that will come from that girl when you propose. Come on now. The way you see yourself has an influence to the way you fight. And this morning I want you to realize that when you don't see yourself aright, it will affect everything that you do. That is why the Apostle John says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. In other words, there is a clear link between one's identity and what you can take on. There's a clear link between the way you see yourself and the way you fight your battles. Let me just dig deeper a little bit here. So, the first issue is, who you are has a huge impact on how you fight and the type of results you will get. That's a very important point to note. Who you are has a huge impact on how you fight and the type of results you will get. I'm reminded of the story of David. When David was talking to King Saul, King Saul looked at the identity of David and looked at the identity of Goliath, and therefore he drew a conclusion that we see in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32. The Bible says, "And David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him.' But Saul replied," verse 33, "'You cannot go out against this Philistine to fight him. Why? You are just a boy, and he has been a warrior from his youth.'" You are just a boy, and he has been a warrior from his youth. And what Saul was saying, your identity disqualifies you from fighting this warrior. So what I'm saying this morning is, your identity has an impact on how you fight and who you can fight. Your identity impacts everything around the way you fight. And here Saul was telling David that you're just a little boy. Remember, at that time, David was around 16, 17 years of age. And there he was saying, "I can take on this man." It now tells me something, that Saul did not really know who David was. But David knew who he was, and therefore he was able to stand with confidence to say, "I will take him on." Can you see what it is here? In one's mind, Saul thought David was not fit for purpose. But David knew who he was, and therefore he declared and says, "I will take him on." When you know who you are, you can fight certain battles that people will think you cannot do that. Secondly, who you are determines the type of battles you can get involved in. Who you are determines the type of battles. Your identity determines the type of battle you get involved in. Again, the story of David and Saul. Saul thought, this issue, this battle is for warriors. It's not for shepherd boys. This battle is for warriors, and therefore he thought, "David, you are a shepherd boy." And I want to ask you a question this morning. Who are you? Are you just a shepherd boy, or there's a warrior inside of you, a warrior who is able to stand and take his rightful place? 1 Samuel 17, verse 36, David then says, "Your servant has killed lions and bears." That was his identity. Your servant has killed lions and bears. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. Who you are matters. David says, "I have taken on bears and lions." And because of that, this man who is standing before us will be part and parcel of those defeated folks. David knew that he was a man of covenant. He also knew that Goliath had no covenant. And if he had no covenant, there is no way he can stand against a man who had a covenant with the living God. Who you are matters. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. I want that to sink in your spirit, man, this morning, that the reason why David was able to stand and to say, "I will take him on," it wasn't because of his physical muscles. No, it was because he belonged to the Most High God. He says, "This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he is trying to defy the armies of the living God." Who you are matters. Your identity affects the outcome of your battles. Your identity affects the outcomes of your battles. That is why the Apostle John is saying to the church today, it's not for everybody this issue of overcoming. It is for those who have a new identity. Glory be to God. Fourthly, your identity affects your mood. Your identity affects your mood when you are standing in front of your enemy. Your mood. Do you know that sometimes you lose your lines when you are in an interview because you're standing in front of a CEO? Because you're not confident of who you are, you're not able to articulate what you know. After the interview, you speak to your husband and you say, you know what, I don't know what happened. You froze. Now, Numbers 13, verse 33. I'm saying your identity affects your mood when you are standing in front of your enemy. Numbers 13, verse 33. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, who come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Here is a bunch of people who forgot who they were, and they saw themselves as grasshoppers, and so they were like grasshoppers in front of the Anakites. Today I want you to know, he who is born of God overcomes the world. Who you are matters. Therefore, when you know who you are and you find yourself in a village where there's witchcraft, you find yourself in a system that is riddled with demonic entities, who you are will change the way you speak. Hallelujah. I come from an area that is known for being high in witchcraft. Where I come from, it's an area where they tell you that this area of Manicaland is known for all sorts of things. I come from an area that is known of people who cause lightning to strike people dead. I'm talking about demonic things that are done in our society. But when I got born again, it changed the way I looked at life. It changed the way that I saw my relatives. Hallelujah. They saw themselves like grasshoppers, so they were in the sight of the giants. What are you facing at work? What are you facing in your business? Who you are matters. I'm hoping that this is getting to somebody this morning. Who you are matters. We are running away from certain things that we should be taking on because we don't know who we are. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Number two, let's dig deeper in this matter. Number two, true victory over the world is won by a life born of God. True victory over the world is won by a life that is born of God. You see, being born of God means that you have received and you possess a supernatural life through faith in Jesus Christ. Every person who claims to be born of God has got to walk differently, has got to talk differently, has got to view their world differently. When everybody is going downstream, you go upstream. You don't go with the flow, you go with the conviction that are found in the Word of God. And I'm saying true victory over the world is in those who are born of God, where there's been an identity shift. Identity shift. This is what we need as believers. The church needs a people that are born of God. A people who understand what it means to be born of the Spirit and to be born of water. Glory be to God. Our children need to understand who they are. My children go to schools and they interact with different people. They hear different stories. It is my responsibility to tell them that you are born of God. Put this down. A supernatural life has the capacity to deal with all the temptations of the world. A supernatural life, this is a life that is born of God because there's been a shift in identity. There's been a shift in allegiances. You then have ability and capacity to say no. This is the story of believers. The ability to say no. And I want to challenge you this morning to dig deeper into your identity. You are born again. You're a child of God. But we've been living as if we don't have power. We need to rise up and to speak it. The Bible says we believe and therefore we speak. Hallelujah. You face temptations, you're able to say, I can stand my ground. Greater is he that is me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. I'm expected to trip right now and to say certain words, but I'm not going to do that because that is not who I am. Who you are matters. Who you are matters. 1 John 5, verse 18. 1 John 5, 18. The Bible says, we know that everyone who has been born of God does not continue to sin. This is it, guys. We know that everyone that is born of God does not continue to sin. Why? Because they have taken on a new identity. You have taken on a new identity. You can no longer continue in the sin to which you were pronounced dead to. Now it says here, but the one born of God guards himself, and the evil one does not touch him. The moment you are born of God, there is a new level of conscience. You are aware of what you can do and what you cannot do. You are able to guard yourself. You put guardrails around you and you say, you know, I'm a child of God. I'm born of the Spirit of God. This cannot be found in my life. You put guardrails around you. Does somebody hear me this morning? We underestimate what the gospel brought into our lives. And I want you to realize this morning that whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Last week we found that our battles are not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness. Now I want you to realize that in order to fight the supernatural entities that are affecting your business, in order to fight the supernatural entities that are affecting your workplace, your marriage, you need to be able to tap into the supernatural. You cannot fight principalities and powers from psychology books. No, you can't. You have to have the capacity to tap into the supernatural. When you go to work, that workplace is very spiritual. People consult sangomas in order to be promoted. What are you consulting? What are you consulting? And I'm saying to you this morning, you are born of the Spirit. You are born of God. Let's tap into the supernatural. Put this down. When you are born of God, you become a partaker of God's divine strength. When you are born of God, you become a beneficiary of the divine nature of God. Our issue is we haven't leaned on that. We haven't opened our spiritual eyes to realize that when I said yes to Jesus, I got access to his divine nature. Those of you who got married, the day that you say, I do, when you say it, I do, you took on this man's name. You took on everything about him, even his credit card, even his bank account. If that man does not allow you to have access to Chelete, there is a problem. We need to deal with it. Call 911. When she said, I do to you, she took over. She took over the identity. She is you, and you are her. That is why I don't understand when people say, it's my money, it's her money. No, that doesn't work. The same thing applies. Yeah. When we say to Jesus, come into my life, you took on the identity of Jesus. And everything that is in Jesus, the Bible says, we become co-heirs together with Christ. Does somebody hear me this morning? We become co-heirs together with Christ. Give me 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2, I think. The Bible talks about 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. There we go. His divine power has given us. So when you say yes to Jesus, you have access to divine power. Divine power gives you ability to have everything that you need for life and for godliness. Ephesians 3:16. Paul was praying for the church at Ephesus. And he says here, I ask that out of the riches of his glory, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner man. Out of the riches of his glory. So when you attach yourself to Jesus and you become born of God, there is a strengthening that comes. There is a power that comes, and your inner man becomes strong to face the world. Now, how does one get to the point of receiving this identity? How do you become born of God? How do you become born of God? 1 John 5, verse 5, the apostle says here, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? He who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Saints, if you do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, victory is not guaranteed. Many people want the victory that is found in God, but they do not want to believe that Jesus is God. Jesus says, me and the Father are one. When you see me, you have seen the Father. There are things that have happened in this world that has made the church uncomfortable to declare that Jesus is the only way to God. Because we're saying, when you do that, you are intolerant. When you do that, that's not right. Muhammad can bring people to God. But I want you to realize the victory that we are talking about can only be found when you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I will say it as long as I have breath in my lungs, that there is no other victory that we can find other than the one found in Jesus. You see, take note of this. You overcome by being born of God. And you are born of God by believing that Jesus is the Son of God. You want to overcome pain, turmoil in your life. Yes, even COVID-19. You want to overcome trouble around you. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You want victory in your business. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You want to be preserved wherever you are. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. John 1 verse 12. You see, bringing Jesus into your life gives you power over the things that you face. And I think these are the ABCs that really make a difference in the life of a believer. If we don't get this right, we are wasting our time. Let's not even continue. To as many as received him, to them he gave power. Listen, to as many as received him, to them he gave power. The preceding verses spoke about how Jesus became flesh, how Jesus came and he dwelt amongst men, how he went to his own, but his own rejected him. Just like many of us today, we hear about Jesus, but we reject him. But whoever received him, says, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, which were born not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Your identity is called born of God. When you're in Jesus, you've got a new identity. The Bible tells us that, behold, all things have become new. I'm a new creation. The past has gone. The new has come. Hallelujah. Put this down. His transformational power brings new desires, new appetites, new motives, and a new capacity to overcome temptations. He says he gave them power to become sons of God. And I'm talking about this power. And when this power of Jesus comes into our lives, it shifts our priorities. It shifts our appetites. It shifts our motives, why we do what we do. You see, before you can claim victory over the world, you need to carry out what I call an identity check. You need to carry out an identity check. And you need to ask yourself this question: do I know Jesus personally? It's one thing to be born again. It's one thing to be born of the Spirit. Because I can tell you, there are a lot of people who are born of God and yet they are walking defeated lives. Why? Is it because they're not really born again? No, they're born again. But there is a journey that you go on the moment you're born of the Spirit. So the question you need to answer is, do you know Jesus personally? Do you know Jesus personally? Yeah. Don't be quick to answer this question. Because if one looks at my life, it might be just that I know about Jesus, but I don't know Jesus. You see, you need to move from just knowing about Jesus to knowing him. Many people have heard about Jesus. Many people have heard about God. But they haven't had an encounter with this Jesus that they've heard about. You know the story of Queen Sheba and Solomon, where the Queen of Sheba was told about Solomon. And she said, I've heard all sorts of things, but I want to go and see for myself. She went and she says, not even a third of what I've seen here was told to me. She went and she had an experience. When you talk about Peter, he says, we don't talk to you about something that we haven't experienced. We had an encounter with the Jesus of glory. We touched him. We felt him. And therefore, we preach with conviction. This morning, I want to ask you a question again. Do you know Jesus or you know about him? You see, when I know Jesus, there's something that should be found in my life. Because the Apostle John says, who is he that overcometh? But he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Who is he that overcometh? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. What are the marks of a believer? What are some of the things we should find in my life? Someone says the test of the pudding is in the eating. You see, I'm not going to be very exhaustive this morning, but I want you to realize there are some fundamentals. There are some things that should be found in my life. As I say, I am a believer. Number one, the believer views Jesus not just as his Savior, but also as his Lord. Many people have stopped at just being saved. They've got fire insurance. They're not going to hell, but they're living defeated lives. That's not your portion. I just don't want hellfire insurance. I want to experience life and life in its abundance. Jesus told them, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I came that you might have life and life in its fullness. The desire of God is for you and I to experience life and life in abundance. So I'm saying this morning, the believer views Jesus not just as his Lord, but also not just as his Savior, but also as his Lord. There is honor to the Lord. How much honor do I give to the Lord? You see, the Lord is allowed to speak. The Lord is allowed to dictate what happens in my life. The Lord is allowed to come and inconvenience me because he is the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord will tell you that tonight we're going to spend time together in prayer. The Lord will tell you that for the coming week you're going to spend time in fasting. The Lord will tell you you're going to take your food and you're going to give it to the people down the road. That's the Lord. That will not be received if you don't consider him as Lord. Now, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible says, and by this we know that we have known him, You see, there must be something tangible. There must be something that we can see. We must feel it. We must sense it. When we walk around somebody who is born of God, there must be an aroma around them. Hallelujah. And we see it, we feel it, and we are convicted to be like them. We are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And by this we know that we have known him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I have known him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar. Do we have liars in church? Do we have liars around us? I don't know. And the truth is not in him. But whosoever keeps his word, truly in this one, the love of God is perfected. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him, take note, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk even as Jesus walked. He who says I abide in him ought to walk in the same way that Jesus walked. That is why I'm saying, if you say I'm born of God and I'm a believer, Jesus is not just your Savior, he is your Lord. Number two, Jesus is a top priority to the believer. Jesus is a top priority for the believer. When I was writing this, I was reminded of one of the statements that my wife made. She says, do not treat your walk with Jesus as a side hustle. I thought that was so profound. Do not treat your walk with Jesus as a side hustle. You know what a side hustle is? You have your main job, and then you've got a side hustle. Your side hustle doesn't provide the majority of your expenses. You do your side hustles when you have additional time. You don't pay attention to your side hustles. 24/7, you spend so much time on your main job, and then here and there you look at your side hustle. Is that how we treat Jesus? Is that how we treat him? Paul did not treat Jesus as his side hustle. We see that in Philippians 3, verse 7. And I'm talking about the believer. He who is born of God overcometh the world. The one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. The one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God takes him as his priority. Paul says, but whatever was gained to me, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. Whatever was of gain to me, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things as loss compared to the surpassing excellence of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have lost all things. What have you lost on the cause of Jesus? What have you forsaken for the cause of Jesus? What have you given up on for the cause of Jesus? So, so important. I'm talking about the believer. He who overcometh is he that believes that Jesus is Lord. Paul says, I've counted my position as a Pharisee as a loss. It's like cow dung compared to the knowledge of Jesus, to the surpassing knowledge of Jesus Christ. He says, I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. You know, that is why people go on Facebook to watch messages. It is because Jesus is their priority. That is why people spend time on YouTube listening to worship music. It is because Jesus is their priority. That is why people cannot wait for their home sale to happen. Why? Because Jesus is their priority. That is why people will cut off certain relationships. Why? Because Jesus is their priority. They are saying, whatever takes me away from this Jesus will not have place in my life. That is why people will choose not to watch Netflix all night long for the sake of Jesus, spending time in his presence. Why do people do those things? It is because Jesus is their priority. Does somebody hear me this morning? The last point. This person, this believer who overcometh, what matters to Jesus matters to this believer. I mean, we're not talking about a distant relationship. We are talking about a relationship that is so intimate. A relationship where you ask Jesus, what's on your heart today? You see, when you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you are a strong believer in his mission here on earth. You are a strong advocate. You are his greatest fan. When you get a chance, you want to introduce Jesus to them. You know, many people will rather introduce their favorite soccer team. It's because they really like their soccer team. But I know for a believer that overcometh the world, this person is consumed by the mission of Jesus. This person cannot hold back at work to tell somebody about the message he had on Sunday. This person is not ashamed to be called a Jesus fanatic. This person is not ashamed to be called names because Jesus is his. You see, a believer is not seen by the size of his Bible, but by the size of the cross that he carries. You carry the burden of the Lord. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If anyone is to be my disciple, he must deny himself. Anyone who loves his mother, his father, his wife, his children more than me, he is not worthy to be my disciple. If anyone wants to lose his life, he will gain it. If anyone wants to keep his life, he will lose it. This is the talk that Jesus makes. But today we are not comfortable with doing those things. What are we prepared to sacrifice for this King of Glory? The same way that Jesus died for us on the cross, is it asking for too much for us to lay down our lives for the brothers around us? 1 John 3:16. This morning I'm talking about the believer that overcometh. When this believer walks in this way, he becomes a partaker of what's in the life of Jesus. You are a soldier in the army of the living God. And therefore, the priorities of the commander-in-chief are primary in your life. 2 Timothy 1:3. Paul was writing to his son, Timothy, and he says, join me in suffering. Do we want to suffer for Jesus? Are we ready to suffer for Jesus? I want to ask you this question. Are you ready to lose it for Jesus? No, very, very few of us are prepared to do that. Very few of us want an easy life. We want milk, honey. We want manna all the time. But here Paul was writing to his son Timothy, join me in suffering. The Lord Jesus says, when you call upon my name, when you walk with me, you will be persecuted because they persecuted your master. He says, a servant is not greater than his master. If the master suffered, surely it will come down to the servant. The reason why our churches are weak today, it is because we haven't taught this gospel where Jesus is saying, deny yourself. Join me in suffering. Toil with me. Spend time with me reaching the lost. Spend time with me in prayer and fasting. Spend time with me telling the truth even when it's not comfortable. This is a call to the church this morning. Join me in suffering. Like a good soldier of Christ Jesus, a soldier refrains from entangling himself in civilian affairs. Why? In order to please the one who enlisted him. You see, I was reading some material last night, and this writer was saying, you'd rather have a church of 100 people who are fully engaged in the mission of the Lord than 1,000 people who are distant. 1,000 people who are not engaged in the mission of Jesus. And I want to ask you a question today. Are you engaged in the mission of Jesus? The powerful thing about being engaged as a soldier is that you become a partaker of what is in Jesus. My last scripture, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? You don't pay your own bills when you're going to war. Unless you are part of a warlord who doesn't care about you. Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit? Who tends a flock and does not drink of its milk? So what is the point? When you are a soldier in the army of the living God, you are provided for. He gives you the ammunition that you need in order to confront the enemy. This is the story of those who overcome. When we speak about destined to overcome, we are talking about those who are born of God. We are talking about those who are believers in the mission of Jesus. When you believe in the mission of Jesus, the blessing of the Lord is your portion. When you believe in what Jesus died for, you are guaranteed of a blessing here on earth and in the afterlife. And today, Lord, we say you can count on us. We know that we are born of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my brothers, I pray for my sisters, that they would have this revelation that this victory is not just for anyone, but it is for those that are born of God. I thank you that they are born of you. I thank you that you love them. And today I pray that they would rise up in that newly found identity. That they can say, I am a believer in the Son of the living God, and therefore there are certain things that will not be found in my life. So Lord, we give you glory today. In Jesus' name. I want to give you an opportunity right now. Maybe you're watching it now and you're not saved. You need Jesus. You need the one who overcame on your behalf. You need the one who gave it all for you. Are you suffering in your body? Are you suffering in your emotions? Jesus has that covered. Today you can say yes to him. You can transfer that burden from you to him, because that is what he does. If you are like that right now, I want to pray for you. Repeat after me. Don't pray to me. Speak to the Father and say, Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning. Into my life. I believe that you're the Son of the living God. I believe that you died on the cross and that on the third day you rose up again. Today I welcome you into my life. Make me a child of God. Forgive me of all my sins. From today onwards, I am yours, and you are mine. Help me, Holy Spirit, to walk this journey. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you have made that prayer, it is important that you get in touch with us. You can drop us a message and we'll get hold of you. We'll shepherd you until you become all that God has intended for you. Thank you so much for spending this morning with us. I believe that God has ministered to you. May you continue walking in victory. And again, I want to remind you about our home cells that are starting this week. If you are not in a home cell, please get hold of us so that you can become part and parcel of a community. Otherwise, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord preserve you until we meet again.